probably know me best as the improvisational piano player on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you're listening to Cloverleaf Radio.
Alrighty, we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and it is an absolute honor to welcome comedian Carrie Jones. How are you, Carrie?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. It's another hot, crappy day in central Illinois.
I know. I thought we had it made last week. It was getting cooler. It was, you know, good fall weather, and now it's back.
Yeah, that's true. And you grew up, well, we grew up in the same, I'm guessing, or at least from the same town. I'm guessing you grew up in Mattoon.
So, actually, I've only lived in Mattoon for about 8 years. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago.
Okay, so yeah, that's definitely a different, it's Illinois all around, but it's still very different surroundings.
Very, very different, yeah. I mean, for the most part, even though I was in the suburbs of Chicago, a lot of it was still very urban. Okay. And now I'm in the complete opposite situation. So it was a little bit of a culture shock, but my family is originally from Mattoon. So we've come back over the summers and on holidays and a couple times during the year. So
nice.
I always had a sense of what Mattoon was. I just had never lived here.
Okay, well, see, that's a good thing to know. But it's hard when you interview smaller people. It's not always easy to find good biographies. And I thought it might just be fun to just kind of go off the cuff and chit-chat about stuff. But, you know, growing up, who were some of your inspirations? I was thinking about, like, comedians that I really enjoyed, like Phyllis Diller and Joan Rivers. And there's so many great comedians that you could speak of. But who were some of your inspirations?
So many, yeah. A lot of people don't remember her, but I always loved Rita Redner.
Oh, yeah.
There was something about the combination of, she'd get up in an evening gown, and she was very beautiful, very poised. She used to be a dancer. So there was a sophistication about her. But then she would say these comments that were very ditzy and dismissive. And I don't know, just the juxtaposition of someone who looked so classy and so refined, saying things as if she had no clue what was going on, that I loved that juxtaposition. And I loved, like, the variety shows. So, like, Carol Burnett, Laugh-In. Now, granted, I saw all of these in syndication.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd stay up late to watch those. And, you know, Saturday Night Live was a big influence. So sketch comedy really was kind of where it started for me. And that's really how I found out about stand-up comedy, was knowing that these sketch comedians also did stand-up before doing any of that work. So that's kind of where I got the bug.
Yeah, I have so many DVDs, like, thinking now it's almost a dead technology, but I love the whole physical media. I think 90% of what I own is comedies, action comedy, horror comedy, stand-up comedy, sketch comedy, like, all the comedies through and through, because even though I like a good horror movie, there's so much sad stuff, especially now, going on in the world, but I think you just need as much laughs and crazy crap happening 24/7 to just stay sane and to stay happy.
Absolutely. I remember a few years ago, and I won't mention the show because I'm not bashing it, but I don't want to say anything bad about it or the perception, but I was watching a drama that I loved. I loved the show. But the problem was I hadn't watched a couple of the episodes, so it was like on demand. So I was binge watching what I had missed. And they were getting into these complicated, dramatic storylines, and I'm like, my life is stressful enough. I can't do this. And I shut it off half episode, because I needed something lighter. I needed something to laugh at. I needed something to relieve the stress that I was under, and a dramatic show wasn't going to do that for me.
That's true. And I always think back, I mean, growing up in central Illinois, out in the country, I think we had like five channels growing up for many years. So what we got to watch was kind of iffy. I mean, I remember like Lawrence Welk and what my grandparents would watch, and, you know, the comedies of the 90s and reruns like The Munsters and
oh yeah,
so on and so forth. But now there's just so much media that people are, you know, I've been podcasting 15 years, but now it's like, especially after COVID, podcasts have blown up, that now everybody, especially comedians, everyone has their own podcast. It's a very interesting world.
It sure is. And you're right. I think, you know, I know we don't necessarily love to talk about COVID and the way that changed our view of media. But, I mean, it really did turn everything on its head. We had to have things that were accessible mm-hmm. in the home that we might not have been able to get anywhere else. And I think it changed the way we did media, but I also think it changed our appetite for media.
That's true. There was a lot of people watching, like, Law & Order binges or Forensic File binges, and then you're, like, sitting at home with your husband or wife, like, da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
You definitely come out of it thinking, like, there's probably more of an appetite for those kind of shows, and reality television has also blown up in, like, the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, it sure has.
But how long have you actually been doing this? Because, I mean, from what I've seen, you're definitely working your butt off traveling.
I'm working hard. I've not been at this very long. My debut was April 2nd, 2022. So I've been in this just over a year. This is a brand new territory for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I think you did, I mean, from just the little stuff I saw you, you know, doing at Band-Aid with the MC and stuff, was professional and funny too. Like, I used to work in pro wrestling, and it's always easier to sway a crowd, but sometimes, especially when it's outside, it's got to be even harder to keep people's attention.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw the setup there. Usually for a music event, your audience isn't close to you. They're, you know, 30, 40, 50 feet away,
right,
so that's where my front row was. And of course, since it was in a park setting, they were spread out all over. There wasn't, you know, like rows of seats. Mm-hmm. And it was a large group, but you really just have to press in and engage. And in a way, you almost have to be obnoxious. Like, I'm not going to be ignored. I am here. I have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be entertained. I want you to have fun. I want you to know what's coming up. But I'm going to be in your face. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do this interview, but then I'm going to come back to you and tell you why we're here. So, but it's a fun night. I've been able to do it both years that they've done it. And I just love it. It's a good cause, and I love being out there with our community.
Yeah, anything that you can help, especially living in a small town. It's not always easy to get the regional acts that people might be used to. So you definitely have to give smaller comedians a chance so that you guys can grow. It's like running the roads with anything, whether you're doing small bands, the indie wrestling, comedy. You're kind of just like running a circuit almost, whether it's bars for certain people or, you know, your cleaner comedy. So cleaner places, I would believe, but
yeah,
you're still running that circuit, trying to get bookings, trying to get on shows, making phone calls. It's definitely hard work.
Yeah, comedy is kind of the tip of the iceberg. You talk about the change in media over the years. There's been a change in comedy as well. For comedians, they want you to be able to do the stand-up. They want you to be able to be bookable as an actor or an actress, whether it be, you know, a main role or a side role. They want you to do theater. They want you to podcast. There are so many aspects of it. They want you to MC events. They want you to make special appearances. Now, granted, I've not reached that level of fame or notoriety, but those are the things that you have to think about. You know, what kind of gigs can I attach myself to that says, hey, I've done that. If this is the person you're looking for, I can do it. I've done it. And call this person. They're my reference. They're my resource. I've emceed their event twice. I've written material for them before. You know, you've mm-hmm. kind of got to wear every single hat that you can.
That's true. And it's all about networking. And even doing this 15 years, you know, you meet someone, then you might meet somebody else. And I've got to interview a lot of people, like wrestlers, especially grew up watching, just from having a person that knows a person or working with conventions in the area. I've got to interview a lot of big name actors, and you know, if it wasn't for the small towns and it wasn't for people working their butts off, I wouldn't have had the opportunities I had. So I'm always up for giving anyone a chance that I find interesting. It's kind of just like who I find interesting is who I've always interviewed. So I definitely enjoy your comedy.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that. All, what, 4 YouTube clips I have out there? That might be generous. I might only have 3.
Well, I guess I was just thinking what I saw in person, but I'm sure, you know, just from knowing that you can do that in front of, you know, the kind of atmosphere that Band-Aid was, moving into, you know, doing rooms and even stadiums, it's all about trying to sway people the right direction.
It is, and it's not always easy. You have to be likable. I mean, I guess you don't have to be. There are some people out there that are notorious for not having good attitudes, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're a comedian. You want to make people laugh. You want people to feel good. The reason I got into all of this is not necessarily for me. I mean, this is acting and theater and writing is something that I've always, those have always been my strengths. But if I do it for me, that's kind of lonely. And it's art is something to be shared, no matter what avenue you're using, whatever media you're in. I rely on the people that, you know, want to come see me and the bookers that want to book me. I want to be known as someone that's likable on stage and likable off stage. Mm-hmm. And that's important to me. I want to be somebody that's easy to work with, that gets the job done, and that everybody's happy having knowing.
I'll bring up this person because he's definitely been seen in a bad light lately, and you know, I don't blame what's happened, but we grew up on like Bill Cosby.
His
comedy, you know, everything he put out was like, oh my god, this guy's clean, he's funny. But even before the stuff came out, like, I'd ask people, oh, what was it like working with Bill Cosby? He was so rude. He was mean. He was nasty. He was, like, already the opposite of what you thought he was. And then to have all this come out, you know, that he did stuff with women and spiking drinks and all this messed up stuff, you just wonder, like, why would someone be compelled to do that, especially with the fame that someone like that has? It's just, it's crazy that comedy can be completely different off the stage.
That does, I mean, maybe I'm too naive, but I don't understand those things. I just simply don't. I can't, it's not in my world. Mm-hmm. And I know it's out there, so I don't want to sound completely unintelligent, but in terms of treating somebody like that, I don't understand the benefit. I don't under, even some people will say, oh, well, it's a power play. What power? Because eventually you get caught. People don't like you. It's a world I don't understand.
Yeah, no, it's especially when you had a wife. Like, if you have someone to go home to, and I've seen this, like, before at different places. I mean, bars, you'll see someone with wedding rings, and they're talking to different people, and there's someone with one ring and someone that doesn't, and you're like, well, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's off-putting, and it's somebody's going to get hurt, and that's just a sad thing all over.
And a lot of times, the emotional hurt is almost just as bad or worse than a physical hurt.
I agree, yeah.
But anyways, getting to happier things. Being that you've only been in it for like over a year, what have been some of your like fun moments, good rooms, good crowds that you've had? I don't like talking about negative stuff, but
yeah.
What's some of your good experiences?
I've been fortunate. That in the year that I've done this, I don't feel that I've had a horrible experience. I've had some rooms that were tougher than others, but on the whole, it's been good. The two most memorable rooms for me, though, like I said earlier, I grew up in the Chicagoland area, and there was a theater company that I was involved with for many years, and I contacted the artistic director there. She's a friend of mine. And I said, look, I would love to bring my stand up to you. And she loves me. We're good friends. But she said, Carrie, I'm so skeptical because every time I bring in something that's different than my normal theater season, it fails. But she said, you know what? Let's do it. Enough people know you. Enough people remember you from when you lived here. Let's just try it. We don't know if we don't try. And so that show was in April, and I can't remember the final number, but we were within about 20 seats of selling out. And
oh, wow.
So I think we were like in the 170s for the count. and oh my gosh, they wouldn't let me bomb a joke. I mean, they hung to every word. They laughed at every facial expression. They laughed at the setup. They laughed at the punchline. They bought all my merch. Thank goodness. You know, I left kind of empty-handed. I brought all, you know, t-shirts and all my merch, and they bought it. And it was so good because it felt like we had started something at this theater that they might be able to do again. And then, you know, in some ways it was a homecoming because I hadn't performed on that stage in, oh, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And it was just such a warm reception. And they loved everything I did. And then I think the other really, really great room that I worked was just this past June. I was doing a show in Crawfordsville, Indiana at the Vanity Theater. And I was the host. So for those who don't know what that is, a host hosts the feature and the headlining comedian. So I come on, I set up the show, I do about 10, 15 minutes of material, and then I introduce both comedians. But I had worked with this one headlining comedian before, and I was kind of fangirling because the feature comedian was a comedian that I've loved mm-hmm. that I never met. And I was going to get to work with both of these people who mean a lot to me. And oh my goodness, the room was great. The theater was beautiful. And then to be able to perform with my good friend who's kind of opened the door for me in every way imaginable, and then to work with this one guy that I had always wanted to meet, and to find out that he was just as kind and sweet off stage as he was on stage, it was great. And this was another show where the audience fell in love with us. They loved all three of us. They stayed afterwards to talk to us outside the theater. Those two are probably my biggest, those are my biggest wins so far.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pull up the Google and ask, figure out who this guy was, because I'm really farting on his name. My girlfriend and I went in 2020 down to Helium in Richmond Heights, Missouri. And there was, it was during COVID. There was only four of us.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like a pretty known name comedian. That's why I hate him farting on his name, because I listen to some podcasts. But yeah, there was only four of us, and we like met him after the show and stuff. And it was really cool. Everyone was really great. There was like, I think there was three or four people before him. But yeah, there was only four of us in the crowd. And it was it was huge between that and then 2021, just like a year after that, in July, we got to see Bob Saget.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Girl, we were right. I mean, he could have blew a booger on us, and he was throwing us in on stuff. And, like, because my girlfriend snores, and I'm like, oh, I can't sleep next to her. He's like, you sleep next to that woman. Yeah, it was so awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Growing up with him was, it was definitely cool to see him in person. But yeah, a lot of the people, I mean, people I've interviewed, people I've met at conventions I grew up watching, like, it's kind of hard to forget that people are just people. If you have, like, I mean, I have, like, action figures and stuff, big toy collector. It's hard to forget when you, like you said, fangirl, and when you geek yeah. out or mark out, as we call it in wrestling, it's kind of easy to do and forget these people are just normal. They have back problems, and their nose runs, and you know yes. they trip over stuff, and
yes, it's true. You we do build them up in our minds. Well, in fact, this one show that I did in Chicago, not Chicago, but the suburbs, this show that I was telling you about, there was a guy, and I know this guy, I've known him for years, but he came up to me and he's like, oh my goodness, how do you handle your fame? I'm like, what? Like, I'm not famous. And I found it so ridiculous.
That's funny.
Because I'm not, I mean, I've been doing this a year. My joke is that I'm small town famous. Like, everybody in my small town knows me, but even then, they don't know me. But that's like my shtick. That's my joke. And this guy just went on and on about, how do you handle your fame? And I'm like, are you you're joking with me, right? Like, I'm not getting a good read on this guy. He went on forever about, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, well, I don't, because I'm not. And I didn't mean to be rude, but I'm like, what angle are you working, guy? I don't get this. I'm going home to a hotel. I'm living in Natchez, Illinois. I'm just like you. Just like
that's
you.
That's even funnier. Because, like, it's almost like, I don't know if he's not hearing me or if it's just, like, it's almost like they ask you the same question in a different way three times, and you're like, I'm really not, are you not understanding that what I'm saying, or is this what, are you repeating yourself? Like, what?
Right, where's the disconnect here? I don't get it.
Oh, my goodness, that's hilarious. Well, we're about 20 minutes now. I guess wrapping up, I always let people promote stuff. I'm sure you got some shows coming up. And where can people find you if they want to book you for a show?
Yeah, so to book me for a show, you can contact me at email. So carriejonesinc@gmail.com. That's carriejonesinc @gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Carrie Jones, the comedian. So it's K-A-R-I, last name Jones, the comedian, C-O-M-E-D-I-E-N-N-E. So that's Facebook and Instagram. And then as far as what I've got coming up, I've actually got a pretty busy September. This Saturday, it's actually not too far from here. I'm going to be in Rockville, Indiana at the Ritz Theater.
Nice.
That show is going to be with Lee Hardin, who's headlining, and Junebug, Junebug Comedy. June is a comedian out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. She's going to be the feature. So we're doing that show next week, Saturday. So hop on to the historicritztheater.com to get tickets there. The following week, I'm going to be in Marion, Ohio, also with Lee Hardin. But this time, our feature is Lee Mays. And he's a comedian out of Ohio. I'm excited because I'm going to get to meet him for the first time. I've never met him. And that's going to be in Marion. And then October 6th, I'm in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, once again with the Lee Hardin. I mentioned earlier that there was someone who'd kind of coached me through my first year. Well, you may have guessed that's been Lee Hardin. So I'm doing another show with him in October. And watch my page because there's a new show coming in November. And I don't have all of the details yet, but it's going to be a local show. So be watching my page and you'll be able to catch a local show here in November.
Sweet. Yeah, there's, I've been told my girlfriend this, there's a need for, like, more stand-up comedy in this area. It's just not something that's been touched on. And I did Google, the comedian I saw was Sam Tripoli.
What was his name?
Sam Tripoli.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, it was very funny, and it was hilarious, just, like, very sad that he had to work, all just four of us, this is the whole room.
Yeah, that's hard.
But he gave us each a t-shirt, one of his shirts, and got pictures and stuff, so it was very cool. And that's the things that I go home with. Like, I mean, anybody could pay to go see a stadium show, and those I don't like as much because you're really not going to get to meet someone.
No, I love the experience of meeting comedians. I've met Nate Bargatze, I've met John Crist, I've met Tim Hawkins, I've met Michael Jr. I know I'm forgetting some, but those guys were just as kind off stage as I've hoped they would be seeing them live. And that makes or breaks your experience and whether or not you go back and watch them again.
That's true. It's just like shutting off a show halfway through it.
Yeah.
You can just get up and leave. And I know a lot of people have walked people. Comedians have walked rooms. Especially back in the early 90s.
Yeah, but I agree. It would be cool to see kind of a big need or a big push to have, you know, live stand-up here in Mattoon on a continual basis. So maybe that's in our future.
Yeah, I do like that the Plan Entertainment's out there. I think that's what it's called. I know they've done some stuff, so it's definitely good that people are having the right idea and bringing some, because comedy is profitable and people like to laugh. And you know, even though we're in like an AI world now where it's leaning toward that, people still want to go see real performances of music and comedy and art.
Absolutely. I've worked that room, Planet Entertainment, twice with Amber. And, you know, it's fun. I mean, it's a small room, but you can pack in a lot of people. And everyone that's been to see those shows has really had a great time. So, yeah, I mean, there are a few places here where we could probably start seeing a little more comedy.
Oh, for sure. That's a great idea. Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for joining me, and I definitely look forward to seeing you in the future. I'll have to keep out on Facebook for that local show.
Yeah, keep an eye out for it. Probably details coming next week once we finalize everything, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Cross the I's and dot the T's.
That's right, exactly. Make sure everything's taken care of.
That's true. Well, enjoy the rest of your evening. Try to stay cool.
Yes, absolutely. I've got the air conditioner cranked, so I should be okay.
There you go, girl. Well, thanks again, and I'll see you in the future.
All right. Take care. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All righty, guys. Big thanks to Carrie Jones, and we will see you when we see you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.